Again, want to say a word of welcome to those who are visiting with us today or tuning in for the first time to listen to our worship service. We're so glad that you've joined us today as we continue this series of sermons that I have entitled Life's Greatest Questions. I'm going throughout Scripture, and I've selected some of the questions that either people ask of God or God asks of us. And the question today is one that Jesus asked his disciples on that very first Easter day in the evening. And he says, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart?" This question is found in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 36. So I want to read this passage, and I ask that you prayerfully listen and attend to this word, that it be profitable to you this day. So let us now hear the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "Now as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have.' And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." You know, this question, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? This is, I think, a question that everyone here, everyone listening, in fact, everyone in this world can relate to. It wouldn't surprise me that someone right here today is troubled in their heart. Or maybe there's someone here that has doubts arising in their heart and mind about God and his word and what he's doing in this world. And still others, they find themselves gripped with fear and anxiety. I mean, we only have to open our eyes and look around us, and we see the truth of this all around us. And therefore, I don't think it's without a question. This indeed is one of life's most important questions. You know, I find it interesting, as I mentioned earlier, that Jesus asked this question on the very first Easter Sunday. In fact, if you read the context, the larger literary context of chapter 24, what you will discover is that this day that we so often associate with joy began for the disciples with fear, with sadness, and doubt. Let that sink in. And as you read this passage of Scripture, you see that there's a pattern here. By no accident, because God inspired Luke to create this literary pattern, a pattern that begins first with people troubled in their hearts and minds, filled with doubts, and ends, though, in peace and in great joy. See, it's a day that began with fear. If you look in your Bibles at the opening verses of this chapter, what you'll find is a group of women who go to the tomb to finish preparing Jesus' body for burial. You well can imagine they must have left that day with a great sadness in their heart. And when they got there, suddenly they were overcome with doubts and fears because they saw the stone rolled away, and there were two men who we know, in fact, are angels. And it says they were filled with fear. Later on, we meet two other disciples on the way to a village named Emmaus. And we're told that if you looked at them, they stood there looking sad. Sad because all their hopes of who Jesus would be had been dashed. And finally, the text before us today that I've just read, with the disciples, even upon seeing the resurrected Jesus, are filled with fear and trouble and doubts. What is causing these fears and troubles and doubts to arise in their hearts? And what made the change in their lives to move from that to peace and joy? Well, that's what we want to look at today, because God has a word to tell us, a very important word, a word that can transform your life. And the first thing I want to point out to you from this text is that it's very clear that when Scripture is closed to us, troubles and doubts will inevitably arise in our hearts. That you may be able to see this pattern, I kind of want to walk through chapter 24 and highlight just a number of verses for you. At verse 6, we go back to those women. And the angel said unto them, "He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you that while he was still in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified on the third day?" And they remembered his words. And then at verse 25, it's Jesus himself talking to these two men on their way to Emmaus, and he says to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all of Scripture, the things concerning himself. And finally, the text that we just read, verses 44 and 46, where again Jesus says, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand Scripture. Do you see the pattern here? When Scripture was closed to them, when they didn't understand and perceive what Scripture said about Christ, they did not handle the events of the crucifixion well. They were filled with trouble and fear and doubts. You know, it's interesting even to note that even upon seeing the resurrection, the resurrected Jesus, seeing the evidence, Jesus still had to ask them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart?" Again, let that sink in. You know, we so often assume that we have trouble and we have doubts in our hearts because we need more evidence. So many people say, show me more evidence, and then I will believe Christianity. Then I will believe. I will have trust in God. Give me evidence. Give me a sign. The Jews kept on asking, give me a sign. But it wasn't the lack of evidence. They had great evidence. No, what they lacked was the light of God's word in their hearts. And so let us take that seriously. If we are overcome in our lives with doubts and troubles and fears, the first place we need to turn is God's word. Because God's word fills us with peace and faith. And that is the second point I want to highlight to you, that when Scripture is opened to us, then inevitably peace and faith will arise in our heart. In each of these episodes, it was the Word of God interpreted and opened by Jesus Christ that filled these people's hearts with peace and hope and joy. I want to suggest to you that this isn't just true for the first Easter Sunday, but it's true for every day of our lives. For as our eyes are opened to the reality of God's word, as Peter says, as we begin to understand the very great and precious promises of God, our doubts and fears will melt away. So how, brothers and sisters, do we do this? How can we come to Jesus and let him open up Scripture for us? That's what I want to talk to you about next. As we turn to the application of the truths that we've just learned, that we have doubts and fears because Scripture's closed, and as it's opened, we have peace and joy, we need to understand something about ourselves and be honest about ourselves. And this is something Scripture tells us about us, that our default setting, your default setting, is to be ignorant of God's word. The Apostle Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. As you are wired naturally, you are wired to reject God's word, to not understand God's word. For he goes on to say, for they, that is the words of God, are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. At the end of our scripture lesson today, did we not see Jesus command his disciples, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high? Why did he command them this? Because he knew they needed the Holy Spirit. Earlier in his teachings to them, and we have this recorded to us in the Gospel of John, the night he was betrayed, he gave them a lengthy time of teaching. He taught them in chapter 14 about the Holy Spirit. And he says, beginning in verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus says we don't need to be troubled. We need not to be afraid. We can have peace, but only as we are clothed with power on high by the Holy Spirit. You see, while Jesus was on earth, he could teach his disciples. He could open Scripture for them, But now that he's ascended on high and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, as we've confessed in the Apostles' Creed today, he has sent his Holy Spirit to be our helper. Our helper to teach us and to open for us the Word of God. This is why we must pray and seek the help of the Holy Spirit as we read, as we study, as we hear the Word of God. You know, perhaps the most important prayer that we've prayed this morning was the prayer of illumination. For without the Spirit, as we've heard, there is no power, there is no understanding, there is no transformation. Charles Spurgeon, who was known as the Prince of Preachers, credited his success at preaching to his congregation's prayers. As we saw earlier in 1 Corinthians, we need supernatural power for the preaching and the reading and the teaching of the Word of God to be effectual. And this leads us to the second thing I think is important for us to do. We have to humbly submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit's teaching. All Scripture is God-breathed, that Paul writes, Timothy. But we have to submit to that teaching. It's in black and white right before us, but we have to believe it. The Bible is a supernatural book. And we must submit to its message in order that our minds might be transformed. But sadly, too often we aren't willing to do this. We come to Scripture with our own preconceived ideas and agenda, and what we do is we attempt to transform Scripture into our viewpoint rather than doing, as Paul says, letting Scripture transform us. And when we do that, the Bible becomes a closed book. I think we need to hear carefully Jesus' warning and rebuke to the religious leaders of his day. We find this rebuke in John chapter 5. And beginning at verse 39, he says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you will have eternal life, and that it is they that bear witness about me, and yet you refuse to come that you may have life." And then just a few verses later, in verse 45, he says, "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you've set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But you do not believe his writings. How will you believe my words?" Do you hear what Jesus is saying? You coming, you Pharisees, you're coming to the Bible with your own agenda. You're not hearing what Moses wrote. You're not hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying. You aren't being obedient to my word because you are not believing me. My friends, are you allowing Jesus to open Scripture for you by seeking and submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit? For until you do, your hearts will continue to be filled with doubts and trouble. Oh, I plead to you, brothers and sisters, let Christ, by his Holy Spirit, open your minds as he opened the minds of his disciples that day, in order that you might be able to understand Scripture and discover in there the word you need to take away your doubts and your troubles and to give you his peace. The other day I was speaking to a man who had been hospitalized because during this COVID epidemic. And as you well know, the hospitals have new restrictions, and at one point, they were very, very strict, and you know, people who were hospitalized felt so isolated. This man felt isolated as well. And he says, you know, before my surgery, my hands were literally shaking. I was all alone. And then I remembered God's promises. I was filled with peace. Brothers and sisters, we need to do the same thing. Are your hands shaking? Is your heart troubled? Are fears arising in your heart, and are you having doubts? Then let Jesus open his word to you. Turn to the word. In a few moments, we're going to hear the hymn being played, Standing on the Promises. During this time of epidemic, we're trying to be careful and we aren't singing aloud the words, but I pray that as this hymn is being played, you are singing in your heart, that you're following along, that you're really looking and meditating upon these words. Think about what this hymn's saying in light of what we've been learning from the text today. And I'm certain that you will experience the peace and the power of God's word. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we do thank you for your word. That word that gives us peace in troubled times. Forgive us for being hard-hearted and closed-minded. Let us submit to your Son Jesus as he sends the Holy Spirit to illumine us and to teach us. Let us obey your word and hear the word profitably, letting the word of God transform us rather than attempting to transform the word of God to meet our agendas. Oh, Father God, we especially pray for those who are indeed deeply troubled right now. We pray that they can know the peace of Christ. As we may have opportunities in our lives to share the hope that is within us, may you give us the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit to do so effectually, that they may come to a saving knowledge of the blessed Savior Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.